Jeremiah chapter 38, we read concerning Jeremiah in verse 6, and they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. As you enter this book, you're introduced to the prophet Jeremiah, set just before the period of the Jewish captivity to Babylon. Jeremiah, he was called to weep over the sins of Judah and also to warn them about their sin. God called Jeremiah to warn the children of Judah that if they persisted on in their sin of neglect, their sin of idolatry, their sin of rebellion, that they would be punished for their sin by being taken as captives to the land of Babylon. And although Jeremiah had a tough message to preach, a message of doom, a message of punishment upon sin, Jeremiah himself, he was not a tough man. In actual fact, when you read through the book of Jeremiah, you discover that he was not a tough individual, but rather he was a very tender and a very soft man indeed. As a young teenager in chapter 1, whenever the Lord called him, this shyness, this softness, it began to show itself. For whenever the Lord called him to be a prophet, Jeremiah's initial reaction was to shrink away from his responsibility. And this soft-heartedness, even as he possessed it from the womb, and then as it developed into his teenage years, this soft-heartedness, it stayed with him throughout his 40-year ministry. In chapter 9, verse 1, we see this soft-heartedness displayed for us by Jeremiah. There he exclaimed, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night." As he stood over the people, as he stood watching them, as he beheld them in their sin, Jeremiah was like Jesus Christ. As Christ stood over, watching the people of Jerusalem and weeping over their sin. And Jeremiah, whilst he warned the people on one hand, he also wept before them on the other. He was so passionate and caring that this weeping in chapter 9, it wasn't a once-off occurrence. In chapter 13, you see him weeping. In chapter 14, you see him weeping. In chapter 22, you again see him weeping. In actual fact, in chapter 31, the Lord had to appear to him and say to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, refrain from your weeping." And in verse 16, he said, "Refrain from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded." In other words, he was saying, "Look, Jeremiah, I know your faithfulness. Jeremiah, I know your tears. Jeremiah, I see them. Jeremiah, there's no need to weep anymore. Jeremiah, I'm going to reward you for your faithfulness." But you know, Jeremiah's faithfulness, it didn't go without notice by those in Jerusalem. As you read through the book, you discover that he was imprisoned on several occasions. In chapter 32, a priest named Pasher came and walked up to him and quite frankly just punched him and placed him in stocks. After his release, Jeremiah, he continued to preach faithfully. Pasher, whenever Jeremiah continued on in his preaching ministry, this priest Pasher, he accused Jeremiah of discouraging the Jewish soldiers. You see, Jeremiah was preaching to the children of Jerusalem that if they continued on, that despite the amount of soldiers they would have, and despite the fight that they would put up, they would still be taken as captives to Jerusalem. And Pasher said, "Look, you're making the soldiers afraid. You're saying to them, they're fighting a losing battle." Eventually, Pasher, he came to King Zedekiah, and he gained permission to imprison him again. Now in chapter 38, you embark upon another imprisonment of Jeremiah. Jeremiah here, this time it was far more severe. You find him being tied, being taken, being imprisoned. But he wasn't just taken to the prison that he was in previously, in the court of the prison. No. Jeremiah, this time, we find him after he was taken into the court of the prison. We find him then being cast into a dungeon. Verse 6, you see him being taken to a dungeon and then being lowered into a dungeon. There he was left, quite frankly, to drown and eventually to die. And with no one to help and no one to aid. And when all seemed hopeless and all seemed helpless, then the Lord stirred a man. The Lord stirred a man named Ebed-Melech. And this man came to the dungeon and he threw down a cord. And he, as it were, gave Jeremiah a lifeline. And he rescued Jeremiah from the terrible dungeon that he was in. And whenever we're in the dungeon of sin, we can be delivered from sin. There is one who is able to deliver you from the dungeon of sin. And tonight, if you're outside of Christ, I want you to, as it were, see yourself like Jeremiah. See yourself in his shoes. See yourself in that dungeon, that terrible dungeon. There is Jeremiah, was cast into the dungeon and forgotten about and was left there to die. So tonight, we find you here outside of Christ and just like Jeremiah, sinking, being lowered to a far more terrible dungeon, a far more terrible pit, that awful pit which the Bible calls the bottomless pit, the pit of hell. And as you're slipping, and as you're descending into that pit outside of Christ, do you not need rescue? Do you not need one to come alongside? And like Ebed-Melech, extend to you that cord, and as it were, lift you out of that dungeon that you're slipping to. And I trust that you see tonight that this is what Christ does in the gospel. He extends to you his cord of love, and through that you can be delivered from the dungeon of sin. And so tonight for a short time, I want to look at Jeremiah. Here is he's delivered from the dungeon. Here is Ebed-Melech comes and reaches out to him and lifts him from the dungeon. Delivered from the dungeon. I want you to see firstly here, thinking about Jeremiah delivered from the dungeon, I want you to see the pit he entered. The pit he entered. Jeremiah was placed into a prison previously, but you'll notice here that it is not described as a prison. It's described as a dungeon. Verse 6, we read that he was let down into a dungeon. So I want you to picture it. Jeremiah was familiar with the prison cell. Jeremiah would have known what it was like. Here, he would have been acquainted with the bars. He would have been acquainted with the prison. But this wasn't just the prison he was in previously. No, this was a dungeon. He wasn't taken there with cuffs in his hands or chains to his legs. No, this was a far greater prison. This was a dungeon or a pit. Notice two things about this pit. Notice here the descent into the pit. The descent into the pit. Verse 6. They let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Jeremiah was firstly taken to an open court, or to the court of the prison. This was an open court. Imagine a courtyard. That's probably what it was like. It wouldn't have been too far away from the palace. There probably was housing around the outside of this courtyard. But you know, in the middle of this courtyard, there was a hole in the ground. It was a pit. And here, it was a dungeon. The word dungeon here in the Hebrew, it refers to a pit or at times to a grave. But here it simply means a filthy dungeon. It seems that there was just a large hole in the middle of the courtyard near the palace. And it resembled perhaps a well or something of that nature. And Jeremiah, where was he taken? Well, he was taken over this hole. And then we're told in this verse, verse 6, they lowered Jeremiah down with cords. In other words, they lowered him down with ropes. What does that suggest to you? That suggests to you that this pit, it wasn't just a small hole in the ground. No, this pit, it was many feet down, and it went down to the very depths of the earth. It was a deep dungeon. There was no stairs in this dungeon. Because if there was, Jeremiah could walk back up them and get out freely. And so, whenever he reached the bottom of this pit, we also read in verse 6 that there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Whenever he was lowered down into the bottom of this pit, there he was confronted by mire. We're told there was no water there. And so you imagine mire. I imagine something like quicksand, a quagmire of something of that nature. And there it was, old, dirty water, or perhaps even grime or quicksand. We're not really too sure, but we're told here, Jeremiah, what was happening to him. He sunk in the mire. Jeremiah here, he's at the bottom now, and he's sinking. I believe that he was placed in this pit in order to drown him. And they placed him there with the intention of dying. And so here's Jeremiah. He's been lowered into a dark and into a deep pit. And there we find that as he hits the bottom of the pit, he's continuing to sink. He is sinking in a dark and a dirty dungeon. And in this world, there are only two types of people. Those who are standing on solid ground and those who are standing on shaky ground or slippery ground. And that ground, this slippery ground, it eventually leads to the dungeon of hell. And I want you to imagine it. Imagine just as Jeremiah was in that dungeon. I want you to see him being lowered into that dark and in that dirty pit. And tonight, if you're not trusting in Christ, then this is just your depiction. This is how God, he depicts you. As it were, slowly but surely, slipping down into the dungeon of hell. Oh, every day that you go on, and you feel perhaps you're not near that place. Oh, like Jeremiah, you're sinking, and the feet beneath you, as it were, it's getting more and more slippery by the day. And oh, my friend, that teaches you. That teaches you that you do not want to waste any more time. Because you could, your foot, as it were, could give way at any moment. And you could slip into the lowest caverns of the pit. The psalmist describes the plight of the wicked in Psalm 73 and verse 18. Where there we read, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Here he's speaking of the wicked. And what does he say there? He states that they're set in slippery places. In the Hebrew, there's a picture there of a man who's walking along rocks which are near an ocean. And he comes to mossy rock. And you know what it's like if you've ever been out on the beach and you're walking up along the rocks. You come to these slippery rocks and your foot, it could give way at any moment. And that's how the psalmist depicted the wicked, standing on a slippery rock that could give way at any second. You see, in Christ we're safe, but outside of Christ we're slipping. Every day our feet are slipping slowly but surely down in the grave. And oh, as Jeremiah was sinking, as he, as it were, was slipping, he was sinking in mire, in a dark and a dirty and in a destitute dungeon. Oh, tonight, that's where you are. And that's where you're headed. I take no pleasure in telling you that, because the Bible tells us that the Lord himself has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But nonetheless, you need to be warned about these things. You need to be warned that if you do not repent of your sin, that you're in desperate and grave danger of slipping into destruction. You know, in the 18th century, Jonathan Edwards, he preached in this theme. He preached his famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it was said that as he preached on this theme of the sinner having a slippery foot, that those in the gathering, although he couldn't even see really, and he held the sermon just up to his eyes and he just read the sermon. But as he just read the sermon, the people, they felt as if the earth was going to give way underneath them. And the text that he preached on that occasion was Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Their foot shall slide in due time. And many were convicted under the preaching of that message. And I trust tonight that you will apply your heart unto wisdom, that you will see yourself like Jeremiah, descending into the pit. The descent into the pit. But I want you to also see the desertion in the pit. The desertion in the pit, verse 9. We read, "My Lord the King, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, and they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no bread in the city." Jeremiah, as he was cast into this dungeon, he was left there for many days. As I said, he was left in the dungeon to die. The rulers of the court, they had cast him into the dungeon, and it seems that they didn't even feed him. Didn't even throw a morsel of bread into that dark and dirty dungeon. Chapter 37 and verse 16, it describes this dungeon by using the word cabins. And John Calvin, speaking about this word cabin, verse 16 of chapter 37, he stated that really it has the idea of a cistern or a tunnel. In other words, it suggests a very, very narrow dungeon. Calvin himself suggested that Jeremiah, he really couldn't even stand up in this dungeon. It was so narrow and it was so small. And so you imagine being in this dungeon. I want you to grasp just how Jeremiah must have felt in this little hole in the ground, being lowered into this dungeon and then left there simply to die. He couldn't even stand up. There were no stairs in this dungeon. And also it seems that this dungeon, that it was locked. How do we know that? Well, Bible commentators believe that Jeremiah, as he was in the dungeon, in the pit, that after that experience, he penned the words of Lamentations chapter 3. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 53, Jeremiah, again the writer of Lamentations, he states, "They have cut off my life in the dungeon," and listen to it, "and cast a stone upon me." And what does this mean? This means that as they lowered Jeremiah, brought him to that hole in the ground, and lowered him into the dungeon, they took a stone, and they then placed the stone over that hole. There was no escape. Jeremiah, he was all alone. He was deserted by the king in a dark and a dirty dungeon. And it is but a poor depiction of hell. Because whilst in hell there's everlasting destruction and everlasting damnation and darkness, there is also everlasting desertion. That is one of the worst things about hell. It is that you will be lost and that you will be cut off or separated from God forever. Yes, in hell there are many terrible experiences. The sinner endures terrible things in hell. Eternal torments. Given over to the tormentors. The Bible makes it very clear that body and soul will burn in hell. It is a place of everlasting fire. But it is also a place of darkness. And a place of abandonment. And that is one of the worst things about hell. It is to be abandoned by God. To be left there all alone. There is a lie that is told in society. And that lie is this. That whenever you go to hell, you'll have a great time because your friends will be there and everybody will be laughing and all will be well. But you think about hell. It's a place of blackness. A place of darkness. You ever been out in the city? No street lights. Just walking in complete darkness. You can't see anything. Oh, you can hear all right, but you can't see. And it suggests to us that hell will be a place of everlasting abandonment by Almighty God. And so tonight, I want you to take a seat. And I want you to see how horribly alone you will be if you descend and you end up in the pit. Indeed, explaining some of the punishments of hell, Christ, he stated in Matthew 25, verse 41, "And he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." What a terrible word that word depart is. And there Christ is saying, look, Whenever you enter everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, then you will be forsaken. Eternally forsaken by Jesus Christ. Again, when Christ was on the cross, what did he cry out? Well, in Psalm 22, verse 1, a messianic psalm, it tells us that he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And of course, one of the terrible things about the cross is that Christ, there he endured the abandonment, and he suffered abandonment from God during those times of darkness. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be a Christian then. Because those who are Christians, they have, as it were, looked to Christ. They have looked to the one who endured abandonment from God on their behalf. And so tonight, you have a choice. And the choice is this. Forsake your sin. Look upon the one who was forsaken by God. Or else be eternally forsaken by the Lord. Here's Jeremiah. And he's descending into a pit. It's a dark pit. It's a terrible, terrible place. It's a place where he's alone. A place where there's no one there. No one to help him. No one to be with him. The pit he entered, but notice secondly here, the plea he extended. In Lamentations 3, verse 55, we read, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Jeremiah, when he was lowered into this dungeon, we find that he did something. He did something which shows us why he was eventually rescued from the dungeon. We're told here he called upon the name of the Lord out of the low dungeon. What happened to Jeremiah? It seems that as he was in that dungeon, he realized something. He realized, here I am. I'm all alone. And I cannot rescue myself. I am drowning. I am sinking. Lamentations 3:54, waters flowed over mine head. Then said I am cut off. In other words, he's realizing that he's about to perish and he can't rescue himself. And there was no one there to save him. And so in the midst of that dungeon, there as he's sinking in the mire, he lifts his heart and he says, Lord, rescue me. You see, he realized that he couldn't rescue himself and he asked God to rescue him from the dungeon. And if you're ever to be rescued, then you firstly must recognize. Recognize, like Jeremiah, that you cannot rescue yourself. The Spirit of God must work in your heart and show you that you are slipping down into the pit. But you cannot stop yourself. You cannot rescue yourself or redeem yourself. No, you need the Lord to rescue you from the dungeon of sin. Like the psalmist in Psalm 40, verse 2. There is he asked the Lord to deliver him from the miry pit and from the miry clay and the horrible pit. Well, what happened? Why did that happen? Why was he delivered? Well, verse 1 tells us, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And the psalmist realized he was in a pit, and he was sinking very, very speedily. And so what did he do? He cried. He said, Lord, deliver me from the pit. And again in the rest of that psalm, what does he say towards the end of it? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from his troubles. You see, salvation is always preceded by supplication. You need to pray and ask Christ to rescue you. Tonight you need to realize that you're just like Jeremiah. As he was being lowered and then as he was sinking in the mire, so you too are sinking. But also you need rescuing. You need rescuing and you cannot rescue yourself. You need to ask the Lord to rescue you. The pit he entered, the plea he extended. But I want you to see quickly here and lastly, the preservation he experienced. The preservation he experienced. Jeremiah was in the dungeon. He was in a dark and a grimy pit. And he couldn't get himself out. I am sure that it all would have seemed hopeless, that he seemed that he was going to be cut off. But then as he lifted his heart to the Lord, then he finds there was someone who came and someone rescued him. Thinking about his preservation, notice his identity. Who was this person that came and rescued Jeremiah? Verse 10 tells us about him. We read, the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. Here is he lifted his heart and asked the Lord to rescue him. Who was it that rescued him? A man by the name of Ebed-Melech. Now the name Melech in the Hebrew, it means king. And that phrase Ebed, it means servant or slave. So who was this that came and rescued Jeremiah from the pit? It was a servant of the king. It was a person who served the king. Now, what else do we know about him? Well, verse 7 tells us, concerning Ebed-Melech, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house. This word eunuch, at times, it means other things, but here it means a court official. It means someone who operated in the legal realms of Judah. And so who is this man, Ebed-Melech? Put it all together. He's a servant of the king, and he's someone who administers legal justice in Jerusalem. This man, he could have been one of those ones who judged Jeremiah, who sentenced him to the prison. There were other court officials there, and that's why Jeremiah was there. He was sentenced to that dungeon. But no, this man didn't do it. Oh, he had the capacity to judge Jeremiah, to sentence him to punishment. But no, this man didn't. This man, the servant of the king, he came and he rescued Jeremiah when he could have judged Jeremiah. And to those who are in the dungeon, there is a deliverer. There is a greater than Ebed-Melech, one called Jesus Christ. Ebed-Melech here, he is a picture of Christ. Who was Christ? Well, in many, many occasions, we're told that Christ was a servant. He was the servant of the king. He was one who was sent by God the Father to do his business, to execute the work of redemption. Of course, who else is Christ? Christ is one who operates in the legal courts of heaven. Christ, he judges sinners. The Bible makes that very, very clear. 1 Corinthians tells us there towards the end of the book that he is the one who sits at the bema seat of judgment and he administers judgment or justice. And yet, here we find Christ. And tonight, here you are, slipping and sinking into a pit. And Christ could, and he could justly punish you. But instead, like Ebed-Melech, tonight he's choosing, as it were, to extend to you his cord and to lift you from the prison of the pit and to rescue you, to redeem you, to release you from the dungeon. And oh, tonight that you would seek Christ. Oh, that you would seek Christ. Oh, that you would seek the one, just as Ebed-Melech let down the cords. And Jeremiah then placed the cords under his arms. And then he lifted Jeremiah from the prison and brought him then back before the king. So tonight that you would come to Christ, come to the one who extends his cords of love and his cords of salvation and wants to lift you. Oh, that you would come and be lifted from your sin, be lifted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah delivered from the dungeon. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts and souls this evening.